Today's shiur of Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Siman Shin Chaf Dalet, and we are now up to Sif Ches. Introduction to this Sif. As we stated above, enhancing already edible animal food is also be the Rabbanon due to Tircha Yisera. One is permitted, however, to exert himself for the purpose of basic food preparation for his animals, meaning whatever is necessary to render the food edible. We go and move on. Siv Ches, Ein Choyskim Shachas. One is not allowed to cut fodder. What is fodder? Perish Yerek, Shel Tvua, Shenitzar, Teren is Bashla Tvua. This is the vegetable portion of grain that was harvested before the grain ripened. So Ein Choyskim Shachas, Vecharubin, or caribs. Those are the buckser we have on Tubishvat. Lifneha Be'ema, before an animal. Bein daka, bein dasa, whether it's a small animal or a large animal. Why? Since without cutting, mishum de below chituch, nami chazila chila. Because without cutting, it is also edible. Sif katan chof bayz, ein choisin shachas. Afilu kasichois, gedoilois, de lesbe, mishum tchina. Even into large pieces, which are not usher due to tochein, grinding. Sif katan chaf gimel, to below chituch, since without cutting, it is also edible. And this is why you're not allowed to cut the fodder or carrots before an animal. So comes the Mishnah Berurah, and he says, it is clear from here, from Shulchan Aruch's explanation, that he refers to soft carrots, soft charubin. However, in the case of hard carrots, which are not fit to eat without cutting, it is mutter, it is permitted to cut them. Why? Because it's going to then be included in the category of what we saw yesterday of making food edible, which is okay. And then he goes on. So he says here, all this refers to somewhat large pieces. However, cutting them into small pieces is usher out of concern for tochein, because if he cuts them in order to feed them to the animal at a later time, that is going to be a problem of tchina. Sif tes. Now, here we need an introduction to the next three Sifim, and he's now basically going to move out of the food preparation for animals and move to the actual halachos of feeding them on Shabbos. We do not need that much of an intro here. We'll just go straight to it. Let's see. Sif test. Ein oisin es hagomo. You're not allowed to stuff a camel. What does that mean? You can't stuff a camel. It means that by feeding it by hand, you're not allowed to do that to the point that its intestines become widened like a feeding trout. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah on this. Sif katan chaf dalet ein bichsin. Kol zeh mishum, all this is usher. Due to what iser? Tircha yaseira, the iser of excessive exertion. Mr. Brewer here is basing himself on the Bavush, and the Sefer Shabbos. It's implied in Rashi. The truth is, though, that the Rambam, however, disagrees. He explains that the iser here of feeding the animals in a normal weekday manner is a concern that one might come to actually grind kidneys or knead dough in preparation of the food, and that's why he's not allowed to go ahead and do it. But Rashi says the Isser here, and implies here, and Mishnah Berurah goes with this, that the concern here is for the Isser of Tircha Yeseira. And the Shulchan Aruch continues on. The Lo Darsin, a person is also not allowed to force feed. He's not allowed to force feed. The Hainu Shadores Lo Machal Begrono, that to force food down a camel's throat to l'makom she'en yochol lachziro, to a place from which it cannot bring it back up. Aval malitin, one can, however, pour food down its throat. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah on this. To a place she'en yochol lachziro, from which it cannot bring it back up. Right, you're not allowed to force feed the food down the camel's throat to a place where you cannot bring it back up. Mishnah Berurah, Chafei, Shetochev lo lefnim mi beis habliya. That is, he thrust it further than the beis habliya, the pharynx. Sif katan chaf vav. But before we get to that, we have to continue on in the Shulchan Aruch. Ein mamirim es ha'agolim aval malitin. You're not allowed to fatten calves by force feeding, but you could go ahead and pour food, right? But you could go ahead and pour food down their throats. Ezo hamra'a, what is considered fattening, the Shulchan Aruch says, l'makom she'eino yachola lahachzir, putting the food in a place from which the animal cannot bring it back up, that's considered fattening. Halata, what is considered pouring down the throat? L'makom shehi yechola lahachzir. That's putting the food in a place from which the animal can bring it back up. Okay, so that's now see the Mishnah Berurah on this. Sif katan chaf vav, to a place from which it cannot bring it back up. Fattening, he says, the Shulchan Aruch is setting the food in a place from which the animal cannot bring it back up. Umashma v'gemara, v'chol she'eno marbitz es ha-behema. The Gemara implies that as long as one does not make the animal crouch, ein yachol l'tchov kol kach ba'omek, it is impossible to thrust the food that deep. Umakom she'yakom l'hachzir hu. And however deep he does thrust it, is going to be a place from which it can bring it up, bring it back up. The Ramah now continues. The din tarnagolim va'avazim kedin agolim. The halacha regarding chicken and geese is the same as the halacha regarding an egel, a calf. Look at the Mishnah Berurah here. Sif katan chav zayin tarnagolim va'avazim. Da'hayin v'sh'asa l'tchov v'gronam ha'machal ash lo yu'yicholim l'ahaviro. Meaning that when it comes to chicken and geese, one cannot also thrust the food so deep in their throats that they won't be able to bring it back up. Va'avazayis she'm fatmim ha'isam v'hugalu b'chol l'chol al yedei hamra v'ein ochlin v'inyin acher mutter lo'ymar lo'ovei bilulim l'amra yisam mishum sabar l'chayim. Now, with regard to geese, which people fatten and have become accustomed on weekdays to eat by force feeding and do not eat any other way, so there he says it's permitted to instruct a guy to go ahead and force feed them on Shabbos due to the halachic concern of what is known as sar balei chayim. Right? The idea here is they have lost the ability to eat naturally because they are used to being force-fed. And we know there's a general Torah concept of minimizing tzar balei chayim. We learned this from the Torah when it tells us to assist in unloading a heavy burden from an animal. Now, the Mishnah Berurah now continues on. However, ach lo yamra son ki im pamachas bayom, the guy should not, or he must only force feed them once a day. Af shiragil lechol shnei pamim bayom, even if they are accustomed to eating twice a day in this manner. Kein kasav b'tshuvas rama, even ayin test. This is written in the tshuvas rama ayin test. And he continues with Mashmasham, the E Leka Eina Yehudi, Shari Hamra Afal Yede Yisrael, Mishum Sarbalechayim. And he actually implies there that if there's no goy available, you can force feed, and it's going to be permitted even by a Jew, based on the halacha concern of sar balei chayim. V'tov lasos al yidei katan. However, it's best for this to be done by a katan if you're going to go ahead and do it al yidei a Jew. Ad kad lashon. This is the lashon of Magen Avraham. This is mentioned in Heisif. Katan yidbeis. Aval b'sefer Eliyahu Rabbi Hichmir shelo lahamros al yidei Yisrael. However, the Eliyahu Rabbi, he is machmir regarding this, and he requires that force feeding not be performed by a Jew. This is based on Ukedas HaMarshal, HaOser B'zeh. This is based on the Marshal.
It's 7 o'clock.
And he says, he goes on, B'chein B'nesiv Chayim Machmir B'zeh. Also, the Nesiv Chayim is Machmir in this matter as well. Achakak Matzasi B'meiri K'dushay Ran, Shenitvas B'chadash Al Shabbos, Mashma Gamkein Daikdam Kedasa Osrin, Vayim B'ber Alacha. He says, he subsequently found the Meiri and Chidushay Haran, which was recently published on the Sefer Shabbos. Wow, this is when the Meiri came out. And their view, too, is like that of those who aser force feeding by a Jew. He says here, see the Ber HaLacha. And we move on to Sif Yud. Mutalite Michael B'fiyem Shel Tarnegolim. It is permitted to place food in the mouths of chickens. Sif Katan Chaf Ches B'fiyem. That is into a place where the chickens are able to bring it back up. This is the very halacha that we brought back, that we brought up in the Rama in Siftes above. It's a shtickle surprising the Rama. Actually goes ahead and cited this psak, because what did he add that is not already explicitly mentioned, right? This is already explicit in the Shulchan Aruch. So we have here the Shulchan Aruch bringing it up beferish, and the Rava above brings it before the Shulchan Aruch. Like, what's going on here? It's possible, he says, that he said this because he wished to ensure that we did not make a mistake in our understanding of the Shulchan Aruch's intent. The Shulchan Aruch's intent. The hush of a tear in the makam shiachon lahatzir had a dafke muzayir as shalom the kapel of the kol balei chayim he muksim kenomer el besimin shulches. Sif mem ayin sham. And he goes on and he says, you should know that the permissibility of pushing food to a place where the animals can bring it back up only pertains if one takes care not to move the animals. One may not, however, move the animals because all animals are muksa, as we learned in Shemches above. Now, what does the Mishnah Brura mean when he's answering that perhaps the Rama wished to ensure that we do not err in our understanding of the Shulchan Aruch? So, in Siftes, the Shulchan Aruch permits stuffing food into the mouths of camels and calves, but he stipulates that the animal must be able to bring the food back up. Here, with regard to chickens, the Shulchan Aruch does not mention any such stipulation, and one might therefore conclude that a person can stuff food deep into a chicken's body without restriction. So, to preclude this concern and of a messed up understanding of the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama explicitly likens chickens to calves. In both cases, one cannot push the food so far down in the animal so that the animal cannot bring it back up. Also, just a reminder about the muksa status of animals. The muksa status of animals are muksa machmas gufo, live animals, living creatures, because they have no Shabbos use. I ain't sick out Simon Shemches. We move on to Sif Yud Aleph. Ein nois nemayim v'lo mezoinos lefnei devorim v'lo lefnei yonei shovech v'yonei aliyah v'lo lefnei chazir. In these Sifim from Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, the Shulchan Aruch is going to basically give us the rules for feeding animals on Shabbos. In general, you're not allowed to feed animals on Shabbos even in the absence of any malacha related iser, because this is considered tircha yisera. But you're allowed to feed your own animal because they depend on you for their sustenance. and it's therefore a person, a yid's responsibility to feed them. So that's the difference between your own animals and a stam animal. Let's see inside yid aleph, right? We said ein nois demayim lo mizonos and neidvorim lo nothing yoni shovech. The yoni aliyah, you can't place water or food before bees, nor before dovecote pigeons or attic pigeons, and not before a the lolafei chazir, and not before a pig. Chav tes, lifnei devorim below lifnei, you're not allowed to place water or food before bees, etc., etc. He continues here in the Mishnah Brura, afilu heim shalo, even if they are his, even if it's his bees. Mikol makom ein mezonos son alav, because even if they belong to him, he's not responsible for their sustenance. Since there is enough food for them in the field, the shchichi lehu bidvara, the tircha shelo letzorechu, and feeding them is going to therefore be considered unnecessary exertion. The Kaf HaChaim actually says that if the bees have become dependent upon being fed, you would be able to feed them. The Kaf HaChaim. Sifkat on lamed velo lifnei hachazir the aim is doinos of a love l'fisha asa legadlo, because he's not responsible for a pig's sustenance, because it's usher to raise a pig. Ukadisa b'choshen mishpat simin tavtes, like stated in the choshen mishpat, and he goes on. Ve'im naftulo b'piron chovo shemutar la'shoson ad shem yimsa l'machran b'shavyan mikri mizanosan alecha u'mutar litain lahem. If he received the pigs as payment for a debt, in which case it's going to be mutter to keep them until he has the opportunity to sell them for their value, this is considered a case in which he's responsible for their sustenance, even though they're pigs, and he can therefore place food before them. There's basically an isser of owning a pig, and therefore he's normally not halakhically responsible for its sustenance. The issue of raising pigs, as you know, is a drabanon, and it was enacted due to an event that took place during a civil war among factions of the Cheshbonayim. Yerushalayim was under siege. Each day, the Jews residing within its walls lowered a container filled with coins, and those on the outside sent up sheep to be used for the daily Talmud offering. At one point, those who besieged reasoned that this daily offering was protecting the enemy within the city, and they sent a pig in place of a sheep. When the pig reached halfway up the wall, it stuck its claws into the wall, and Eretz Yisrael was shaken over a distance, the Gemara says, of 400 parsos by 400 parsos. And in response to this, Chazal declared, cursed is the person, the Gemara Baba Kama, pay bays on the bays, cursed is the one who raises pigs. But, as we see here, it's permitted to keep the pig when one has received it in payment for a debt until one is able to sell it at the market price. One may not, however, keep it longer in order to sell it as a profit. This is all brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, and in Yeredeya, in Choshen Mishpat, Tav Tes, Sif Dal, Yeredeya, Kuf Yud Zayin, Sif Aleph, Ayin Sham. Shulchan Aruch now continues. Aval Nosu Lefnei Avozim V'Tanagolim, V'Yoynei Ba'isois, V'Chein Lefnei Kelev, Shem Mizoynosav, Alecha. One is allowed to place water or food before geese, chickens, and domesticated pigeons, and also before a dog, because its sustenance is our responsibility. Sifkat an lamed aleph lifnei ha lifnei kelev. Afilu kelev she'ena megadlo bebeiso muter. The mitzvah ksas gam kei mitein lo mizonos kemosha. Amru chazal sheheim shechas. Hakadosh Baruch Hu alav. Lefi shemizvaynasa mu'atin umasha achilasa b'meyav shelo yisachel shleisha yamim. He says here, even a dog that he is not raising in his home, because in this case, there is a shtickle mitzvah to give the dog food, because Chazal says Hashem has rachmanas on the dog because its food is scant, and he therefore maintains The dog maintains its food in its intestines so that it is not digested for 3 days. Check out the Eliyahu Rabbi says, and the Mishnah Berurah continues on, L'fnei kelev ra aser, kemo l'fnei chazer da aser, shud da aser l'gadel, chazirim v'kelev ra. He says, it's aser though to put food before a wild dog, same way before a pig, because it's aser to raise pigs and wild dogs, as you all know. Yesh noagin l'tein chitin l'fnei ofos b'shava shira, v'ein anachon sharei ein mizonasan alecha. He says, some have a minhag of placing chita, food out, wheat for the birds on Shabbat Shira, but he says this is wrong because one is not responsible for their sustenance. What's this issue with the birds feeding them on Shabbat Shira? So, Shabbat Shira, there's this minug, and it's rejected by Mr. Brewer here. The reason that people do it is in recognition of the fact that the birds also sang the Shira when there was Kriyas Yamsuf. Others give a different approach. In practice, B'Shalach, the Torah relates the Jewish nation was sustained in the barren Midbar, in the desert, by man, right? Moshe Rabbeinu informed the people that no man would fall on Shabbos, but a double portion would appear on Erev Shabbos and would last for both days. Chazal tell us that in an effort to discredit Moshe, Dasan and Aviram took the leftovers from Erev Shabbos and spread it outside with the intention of claiming that they had found it on Shabbos. This is obviously in contradiction of Moshe's prediction, and their plans were scuttled because birds ate the man before the people saw it. And therefore, a minhag developed to provide food for birds in recognition of this great mace that happened. Now, while the Mishnah Berurah seems to side with the Achronim who reject this minhag, there are those that validate it. The Tosefta Shabbos argues that this is not considered unnecessary tircha yaseira, because it is not done for the purpose of providing for the birds, but rather for the sake of a mitzvah. Others justify the minhag based on Ran, who implies that feeding birds is mutter during the winter when there's not enough food for them in the wild. The Ran's kula is rejected by the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham, but accepted by the Ohel Shabbos and the Chazon Ish. Some poskim suggest ways to fulfill the minhag without any ways of violating. There's the Eshel Avraham, who says you could avoid the tircha issue by feeding the birds. He recommends feeding the birds with a child. The Torah Shabbos, he suggests putting out the food right before Shabbos so the birds will eat it on Shabbos. Also, one can shake off crumbs from a tablecloth in a place where birds will eat them. That's another option. This is allowed because that could obviously not be considered tircha yaseira. So those are three options mentioned by the poskim. And finally, the last sif that we'll do today, Yud Beis, Mutter L'Hachil Toloi HaMeshi. It's Mutter to feed a silkworm. Sif Katan Lamed Beis. Why is this Mutter? The Fisha B'Zonasa Nelecha. She'ein Lo Masha Yochal Ki'im Masha Nosei Lo Adam. Because one is responsible for their sustenance, for they have nothing to eat except for what a person gives them, and therefore they are similar. They're similar to geese and chickens. However, but they cannot be moved, just as other animals may not be moved. The Privagadim in Mishmas Zav Vav explains that silkworms do not venture outside. Therefore, they are entirely dependent upon people for their sustenance. And comparing them to the geese and chickens here is like we saw in the previous sif, that you let it feed domesticated geese and chickens because they rely upon people for their sustenance. Ad kan.